Hi, I'm Melissa, and this is the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Every entrepreneur has a story. Listen to women discuss the financial side of their business, both the challenges and successes. Let's grab life by the bottom line. Hello, and welcome back, everyone. Today's guest is Monica Agana from Savage Babe. Welcome, Monica.
Hey, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited to have you on because I think you're going to talk to us today a little bit about women empowerment and self-love. Is that right?
Heck yes.
And see where that takes us.
I love it.
Yeah, okay. So you kind of want to introduce yourself and tell a little bit about who's Monica.
Yes. So as Melissa said, my name is Monica. I am turning 31 as of next week.
Ooh, happy early birthday.
Thank you. Yep. And currently I am the owner of Savage Babe. I started the company in 2018. Before that, I was a former math nerd. I was a revenue analyst for a vacation rental company and got my master's in math and stuff. But the math life, I guess, is kind of far behind me now. And I got really into doing something I was more passionate about, which is helping women and really like using my creative talents, because I've always had more of like the creative background. And that was something that came more naturally to me than math did. So got to use those talents in creating products and clothing in Savage Babe. But yeah, so I am originally from Seattle. It's a town called Bremerton. It's off the peninsula in the Pacific Northwest.
Sounds beautiful.
It's beautiful, very green. And I actually just got back from there yesterday, did a long road trip with my two cats and dog in my car.
Oh my God, how do your cats do in the car?
They were meowing the first like hour and a half, and then they finally stopped. So that was good. But I just kind of, you know, kept them covered in their little kennel and they eventually relaxed. But yeah, anyway, so I've been in Idaho since 2009, but I lived in Moscow, Idaho for my undergraduate. I went to U of I, and then I went to do my master's at Boise State University, and I moved to Boise in 2014 of January, and I was not planning on staying in Boise that long, but here I am. I just grew and fell in love with the area and the adventure and the people, and so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you came about the same time I did then, 2014.
Oh, really?
So you've seen a lot of growth.
Oh, yeah, especially since COVID.
Oh, true, true. A lot more people are relocating all around the U.S. So math is a background.
Yes.
You're speaking my language there when
I
you're
know.
At math.
Yes, so, I was going to say, because you do accounting.
Yes, yes. So after you graduated, you took a more corporate job. And now, how long did you work a traditional corporate job? A couple years? Or?
2.5, yes.
And then you took the step to work for yourself?
I started it, yes, I started Savage Babe as like a side hustle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
6 months before quitting. And then I don't know, going into my 9-to-5 every single day was really difficult mentally. Mm-hmm. Like, I just was starting to check out more and more, and it got to a point where I'm like, I really got to get my 2 weeks notice in and just go all into my thing because that's what feels right.
Yeah, you found out that the 9-to-5 wasn't for you.
Funny thing, I always knew it wasn't for me, but I was so desperate for a job right out of grad school and desperate for something that paid really well and had all the great benefits and, you know, security and safety.
Sure.
And then I had a lot of pressure as well, just from my parents, like needing to find a really good high paying job. So I'm like, okay, this is a really great gig, so I'm going to take it. But I knew day one that I wasn't meant to be there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you still stuck it out
it was
for a
rough.
Couple years.
Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, the company itself was great. The culture was great. The people were very, like, nice overall. But it was just not something I was personally passionate about.
Mm-hmm. 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 So when you first opened up Savage Babe, what did you sell? What was your service? How has it evolved?
Yes. So first starting Savage Babe back in 2018 of January, I kind of came up the December before that. So December 2017, I was just trying to come up with different ways I could help women. And I thought, if I make like a brand with a message and selling products, maybe I'd be able to reach people more, like reach more women. So I thought maybe a clothing brand, and I would just start with t-shirts and tank tops, just the standard. You buy the tank tops and t-shirts ready made, and then I just would draw the design on like Adobe Illustrator, and then I would send my design off to the print shops, whatever print shops I was using at the time, and they would just make the shirts for me. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we were at the time. And then I also did coaching. I had a branch of Savage Babe called Savage Babe Coaching, and that's where I like did online fitness programming for women who wanted to lose weight and get into the gym and learn how to use weights more. And I think I did that all of 2018. And then I realized towards the end of that year that coaching really wasn't for me. Even though I was helping women, it wasn't the way I wanted to help them. I was more focused on less about, like, health and wellness has been a huge part of my life for the last maybe 10 to 11 years or even 12. But I think I wanted to get to the root cause of why, you know, people even struggle with weight and things like that. And it's all like emotional and mental.
Okay. So not just the external part of health.
Yes. I wanted to dive deeper and help women, like, well, we wouldn't have issues with our health if we really truly loved ourselves and were more stable within who we are. And so I wanted to tackle more of that as the brand evolved, of course. Mm-hmm. I didn't figure that out until trial and error and experimenting and figuring out what was working and what wasn't.
Well, I like that you have the courage to keep evolving and changing.
Thank you.
With your master's degree, knowing that was a stepping stone to Savage Babe, and then even the different revenue streams of that. It's sometimes hard to see people walk away from something, even though it's not making them happy. We tend to stick to what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And not take that step into the unknown.
Oh, so it was scary. I think quitting my 9-to-5 was the first time I really decided to do something for myself instead of trying to please people. And it was one of the scariest risks that I ever took, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if it was going to fail. It was completely going against what I grew up knowing and believing and the things I was taught by my family.
Did you tell your family beforehand, or
did you
just do it?
Yeah. Because the year before I was trying to quit and my mom had convinced me not to.
Right.
So I didn't. And then so the following year I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this again, but I'm going to keep it on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I didn't really tell anybody except a few friends. And even that kind of was unfortunate at the time. Some of my friends were like, that's a bad idea. Like, you shouldn't do that. Yeah. And so I had to ignore what I was hearing, because I was getting to a point where I'm like, if I just keep listening to what people think I should do, I'm never going to be able to do what I want to do for myself.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
So you trusted yourself.
Yes, finally. Yes.
How did you come up with the name Savage Babe? I've always wanted to ask you
that.
Oh,
yeah. I have this awesome shirt that I still have and I never wear, but it's in my closet because it reminds me of the moment I made my brand. It's this shirt that has like cut off shoulders. I'll have to like share it with you one day, but it's cute. And I used to wear it to the gym all the time. and it says Savage on it. And okay. I got so many compliments every time I wore it. And I thought it was the coolest, most feminine, because it's super cute and feminine and just like punk rock, but also like, you know, savage and rough and like relentless. And so I love that contrast of how feminine and masculine it was. And when I was laying in bed one day, I was like, I really want to use the word savage in my name for my business that I'm trying to come up with. Mm-hmm. This was like way before I even bought shirts yet. Mm-hmm. It was just an idea happening while I was laying down in December of 2017 before bed. And so I was like, okay, savage girl, savage lady, savage. Like, I just kept coming up with different. And then babe, I don't know how that just popped up, but I'm like, there's a good ring to that, savage babe. Yeah. And I'm like, that definitely embodies both like the feminine and the masculine. And it's really important to have both. And as I've grown older and older, I've come to understand that is really important to have both. But yeah, it ended up working out. And then the pineapple's our logo. And that is, I don't know if you've ever heard of stand tall, be sweet on the inside, wear your crown. And then I added a little one at the end saying, don't round your edges. And so, because you know how pineapple kind of has the edges and stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of a women empowerment type of icon, I guess you would say.
Nice. So, okay, so you have your first collection. How did that go? How was your first launch?
I was super excited. So I took my old Instagram. So the Savage Babe Instagram right now was my personal Instagram before I made it a business account. And I just had maybe 200 followers. They were all just friends and stuff. I started just posting, oh, I'm making these shirts and posting all about my shirts. They're launching this time. I think it was January 12, 2018 is when I launched them. And I had people, you know, either unfollow me because they were getting sick of all the shirts that I was posting. And I had two designs. I had one t-shirt and one tank top. And they both had the same design on it. It said Savage Babe. And it has this girl deadlifting, a picture of this girl deadlifting. And when So I promoted that on my personal Instagram for a couple weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before I launched. And I had some people I'd never met in person who just added the account because they were like, oh, this girl's making shirts, even though she's like super small and only has like 200 followers. Some people were already starting to support it who I didn't even know, just people from online. And launched it, and day one I got my first order. I think I only got one or two orders that day, but I was so excited because I'd never in my life sold anything like at all. I don't have a business bone in my body. I didn't grow up with entrepreneur parents, and I didn't take business classes at all. So selling something for the first time was like, oh my god, this is exciting. So I was like, definitely really like, it showed me the potential of like where it could go, even just with one order. Yeah.
And now how has your product line grown? What, like, if we go out to your website today, what are we going to find out there for sale?
Oh man, there's way more than tank tops and t-shirts. There's sports bras and leggings and joggers and head wraps, and sometimes we have beanies, but those sold out. We have baseball caps, we have tank tops, we have t-shirts, sweaters, crew necks, puffer jackets, sometimes fanny packs. So a lot, like a whole range. And then we have our guided journals.
I was just gonna say, I think that's my favorite thing you sell, or you have these great journals.
Oh yeah, the Blessed AF one, that was the first one I released. I think 2019 is when I released that.
Tell us about that. How did you decide to do that?
That came from inspired action. When I was a little girl, I used to write books a lot for fun. And I used to like take pages of white printer paper, and I would just write a story and draw pictures, and then I would take a piece of like cardboard and I would fold it into like a book cover, mm-hmm. and then I'd staple the pages in there. It was super cute. I don't know if I still have those, but I'll have to dig in my parents' house or something and see. But I used to make books all the time. And so I was like, I do love writing and I love drawing and I love making people feel good. So maybe I should make a guided journal, something that I never had as a tool that would have helped me. But maybe if I can make that for somebody else who might need that kind of direction. So yeah, I ended up making a journal called Blessed AF, and it's a 90-day guided journal with a quote, like a woman empowerment quote or a self-love quote, then a positive affirmation in the middle, and then at the bottom of those two, we have a prompt, and it's like a different quote, affirmation, and prompt for like 90 days every single day. It's different because I was getting sick of seeing guided journals that had the same thing every day. And I wanted women to like always be striving to think differently and like get accustomed to different quotes and affirmations and things like that, because I feel when you really immerse yourself in all of that, that's when you really start to truly change. It's not when you're doing the same thing over and over again, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta constantly be striving to think differently and think in different ways and reflect in different ways. And so that's what the 90-day guided journal really does. And it's done really well since. I think we've sold almost 500 copies. It's crazy.
It's great. And I think it's nice. It's a bite size. It's manageable, 90 days. Mm-hmm. It's not, I think we can all kind of wrap our head around that versus like this whole year of, oh, can I commit to this?
Yes.
Or you feel bad. You're all motivated day one, week two. And then it kind of starts to peter out when you think, oh, I have to do this all year long?
Yeah, and there's a page at the beginning where you have to like sign it and date it saying that like you're committed to doing it every day for 90 days.
Yeah, and 90 days, I feel like that's something, I mean, that's a big commitment, but it's not crazy.
Yeah, it's not asking you, like you said, the whole year
stuff. Right. So other than the journal, has there been any other kind of product that you've sold that you've been surprised at how popular it's been?
Yes, it was our Thunderstorm hoodies, which are currently out of stock right now. And I'm kind of taking a break from them because I've restocked them like 5 or 6 times. But they, man, we would sell like 6 of them a day at one point. It was crazy. But I don't know if you've seen them. They're like a cropped hoodie and they have fleece on the inside, so they're pretty warm and the material is pretty thick, but like there's like an open chest.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it says there's an embroidery on the top saying Savage Bay with the pineapple, and then on the back there's a print that says Savage Bay with the pineapple. And I guess it's just like it's simple and it's cute, but it's also not like super super bold. So, and I think that's what attracted a lot of people. But yeah, we'll have to restock on those again eventually.
How do you get inspiration for all these products? Like, there's so much that goes into them between, you know, the lettering and the colors and the style and the message.
Yeah, sometimes it just comes to me like inspired, like action and stuff, like it just comes to me. And then other times, like, I'll see someone wearing something and that will spark inspiration for, oh, I like how that looks, but what if we did this and added this? And it just kind of comes to my brain, and sometimes I don't understand how it just does that, but it's kind of always done that since I've been little. Like,
so it sounds like it's very organic.
Yeah.
You just kind of let the world inspire you versus sitting down and doing a calculated process.
Yes. I found that when I force myself to make things, it doesn't work as well, and it ends up not coming out as good. And it also doesn't sell as well. But everything that I create out of just being inspired has always sold really, really well.
Do you have anything new coming out before the end of this year, or are you, Is 2021 done for you? Oh. And then 2022 will be your new items.
We got a few smaller new things. So we just had the Earth collection from the fall, and I decided for our Black Friday Cyber Monday event on November 18th, that's the first day, to add a few more colors of the leggings. So I got a sand color and a plum color and the ribbed leggings, and ribbed leggings are like super popular right now. Mm-hmm. And then I have knitted.
You were kind of ahead of the curve on that, because I think I got a pair of ribbed leggings from you a few years ago.
Yeah. And they're actually still trending. So I decided to make the ribbed leggings again, but do a different pattern. So there's a cool, like, if you look at them on our website, it has a different kind of pattern people aren't used to seeing on there. Okay. And the V waistband, which I really love because it accentuates your waist and it makes it look a little bit leaner. And yeah, so mm-hmm. We have two of those new colors launching. And then we have the knitted head wraps, which I call the knitted she bands, but they're just like headband wraps that are knitted. And I think we have like four colors. Yeah. We have a black one, a blue one, a white one, and like kind of a mustard yellow color. I think the one I was wearing when I came in.
So you mentioned, you know, not really having a business background or being exposed to that even when you were growing up. Have you ever had like a mentor, or has it just all been self-taught, trial by error? Or have you ever taken any business kind of classes, or how have you grown so much?
I did hire a fitness coach that specializes in helping you grow your fitness business online. Okay. So it wasn't for e-commerce. It was just more like, how can I create a online fitness company for people that I want to train online. So he taught me some things that I could apply, like how to be more authentic online, and how to not be afraid to be you, because that's what people buy. They don't buy like generic stuff. They want to feel like they can connect with you, and they buy to support something that's meaningful to them and somebody they can relate with. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to apply those things in Savage Babe, and I found that it worked just as well. But besides like all the other stuff, the nitty gritty details of like creating systems and doing all the back end work, there was a lot of mistakes for sure. Trial and error, and then learning from other people who are business owners as well, and talking to them and them kind of giving me advice and stuff. So just connecting with people who own businesses. And then we actually just hired a business consultant. So now we're learning more again. Mm-hmm. So I feel like periodically we have been investing in the business by hiring people to help us, which I think, you know, that's part of growing, is investing in yourself by sometimes hiring someone who knows more than you. Mm-hmm. And then obviously I use Google to look up how to like sell things, and then I would go on different people's websites that are similar to my brand and see how much they're pricing their stuff. And basically just kind of, you know, looking at what other people are doing and trying it out for myself. And if it works, then keep doing it. And if it doesn't, change it up. So I feel like you have to really be flexible and unafraid of change and things not being the way that you want them to be, because most of the time you're always having, like you said, evolving. You have to evolve and change. And as well as like when COVID hit, that was a huge like turning point for the business. It showed me the things that I didn't want to do anymore, that were not sustainable for the long-term vision. And it also changed the way some of the marketing was happening online because of different iOS updates and things like that. And so now we're having to learn like a whole new way to market as well. So society changes, the way things are online changes, and you just kind of have to flow with it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you incorporate, kind of going back to, I guess, the opening of the podcast, women empowerment and self-love within your products that you sell?
Yes. So the message, like I said, it heavily promotes helping women to love themselves and to, you know, create boundaries in their life, because most of us are people pleasers and we do too much for other people and never take care of ourselves. And that's something I struggled with for the longest time. And so I promote that through just community and the things that I post every single day. We post quotes around self-love and women empowerment. Sometimes the t-shirt designs that I make are really iconic. So I will, they're like, if you saw the last t-shirt release, it's called the Fearless Tee, and it has different words on it. Like, it says self-love and it says women rule and it says take no shit. And so it's just like super iconic pieces like that. And then obviously we have our podcast as well, the Savage Babe podcast. And I promote a lot of personal growth on there and giving tools and resources for women and also men, because men also listen to it as well. Just different things they can use in their life to create more happiness for themselves and stuff. Lately, we've been talking a lot about manifestation, things like that, which is a huge part of, for me, I think it's a huge part of really creating the life you love is the concept of manifestation.
Well, that's so ironic, because I already knew in my head the next question I wanted to ask you, and then you bring up manifestation. My question was going to be, what do you want to learn next or do next? And then you bring that up.
Oh, yeah.
So can you share with us what you've been manifesting? Or is it still?
It's still in the pot boiling.
Okay.
It's in the unfolding process.
Gotcha.
I am currently manifesting. What I have already manifested, so this year I wanted to really manifest, I guess, more of a life of travel. And that has definitely been the case this year. I've traveled so much this year. There was at one point I was out of town every single weekend somewhere in a different state. And I finally did my solo trip to Mexico. That was something I had been thinking about doing since, I think, 2016, is doing a solo trip. And so it finally was manifested that and learned to
freedive.
How was
it traveling
alone? It was so scary. But my plane ride there, I was like, I guess this is happening. This is it. And I booked it too, so I wouldn't back out, because I knew if I didn't book the flight or my hotel or the free diving course, I probably would cancel. So I booked it. And I just was like, okay, well, I can't cancel now, because if I do, I lose all the money. So it was scary going there, but as soon as, like, I got to the free diving place and I met people and made new friends who were from other countries, like a couple of people that I met from who were from Paris, France, which was super cool, I felt safe. Like, I had a blast. It was probably like the best trip of my life, honestly.
That's really interesting. Earlier this year, I had a guest on the podcast, Thea Koenig. She's a photographer, and she's even done a TED Talk called Travel Naked.
Ooh.
And what we discussed it briefly, but she said the same thing. She's done the majority of her travel she'll do alone. And what she gets back from traveling alone, talking to others talking to her, inviting her places, that she was like, if I was with a friend, you know, or a loved one, I probably wouldn't have interacted as much with locals or with other travelers or been invited to so many things, because she is a woman traveling alone, and it's she's got so much more out of those trips.
Mm-hmm. I would,
because of that experience.
Yeah, I agree with her. I feel like if I had been with a friend, I don't think I would have become really great friends with people from other countries. And I was also, yeah, invited to other cities within Mexico. And I was invited to come to the girl that I met from Paris. She invited me to come hang out with her at her resort. She ended up becoming my really good friend. Actually, we hung out like the whole time.
Nice.
Yeah. And then just like being around them, because her and my freediving instructor, they both knew how to speak Spanish, French, and English. So being around those kinds of languages also, I don't know, it just gives you a different perspective on life. It makes you want to learn more about what's out there and, mm-hmm. and the cultures out there.
So do you have another trip planned solo?
Another trip planned solo? I just got back from a... one that I guess it's not international. I just went to the Oregon coast alone, I guess. Well, with my two cats and my dog. Yeah, I rented a cute little vacation rental off Rockaway Beach, mm-hmm. Close to Cannon Beach. And we spent like 5 days and four nights. And I talked to the locals there. And I like went around and ate at different local shops. And I like to try to support local if I can, mm-hmm. and try new things, and made new friends there as well. And then visited my family up in Seattle after that. But I guess that was kind of a solo trip.
Sure. Yes. Domestic counts just yes. as much as international.
Yeah. So that was a long road trip. That's the first time I've driven a lot. Like it must have been 25 hours logged.
Ugh. So do you listen to other podcasts?
Do
besides
I?
Besides just your own when oh. you're on these long road trips?
Oh, I don't even think I listen to my own. But I used to listen to a lot of podcasts, actually. I think it's in this last year and a half, I hadn't been listening to as much podcasts, and I'm not really sure why. It maybe could be that I had listen to it so much and now I'm kind of taking a break, but I listen to a lot of music and sometimes YouTube. I guess you can count YouTube as kind of a podcast as mm-hmm. thing. So I'll have YouTube running in the background when I'm driving as well, and usually what I'm listening to on YouTube is things about manifestation.
Okay.
Yeah, and like researching more about that.
So yeah. If you were to look off into the future, what do you think's next for you? Down the road, 5 years, 10 years, can you even think that far out?
I have. And sometimes it scares me, but I have to not be afraid, right? Because mm-hmm. if you're afraid, then your vision won't come true. You have to go into it fearlessly. But I see like Savage Babe being way bigger. Like much bigger in terms of like a warehouse or a headquarters type of deal, and maybe mm-hmm. Another one or two other business partners who would partner up with us and invest in the company and work with us. And then I also see lots of events and hiring people to help us, you know, expand, doing back end stuff and putting on our booths at different expos. And so kind of seeing that blow up. And then I decided I'm wanting to travel way more. Ever since this year, it made me realize like that I really should be doing that. That's something I've always wanted to do, but it wasn't until this year when I finally did a lot of traveling, and I was like, yes, this is totally what I'm meant to do, is travel a lot. So I see myself traveling a lot.
Do you feel like you can still run your business and travel at the same time?
Yes. And that was the nice thing, is I was able to like bring my laptop with me, and I still had my meetings with people online, and mm-hmm. that was really nice. I guess it's really convenient when your business is online, because you really can travel. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing is just maybe hiring more people to do stuff, because sometimes I am like not able to get to my computer and do something. So mm-hmm. that doesn't seem too much of an issue. Eventually we'll get there. So
well, see, I'm going to do another plug again. I did a podcast a few months ago. I guess it was when it came back. We were away the entire month of September in Europe. And I came back and did a podcast on how you can travel and what are the tech obstacles and the ways to beat them when you are away from your office or home or home country and traveling. So maybe you need to check that one out.
Yeah.
And then you can go wherever you want in the world.
That would be helpful. Yeah, because I had some bad internet. There was some bad internet at one point.
Sure, sure. No, that's one of the biggest obstacles many times is having a good connection.
Yeah, I'll check that episode out.
Yeah, Thank you. So before I wrap things up, I like to end a podcast with almost like rapid fire questions. So I'm going to ask you these questions I know you've never seen before, I think.
Okay.
And it's not that we have to discuss them, just what's the first thing that comes into your mind. So
okay.
That the listeners kind of see a different side of you.
Got it.
So you ready?
Let's do it. I think so.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Perfect happiness is when you feel super content and safe and stable and secure and confident in who you are, and you're not afraid to show that to the world.
Oh, love it. When and where were you the happiest?
Probably Mexico.
Which living person do you admire the most?
Living person? Mm-hmm.
It can be someone in your family. It could be a famous person. It
Oprah.
Could be. All right. Good one. What is your latest extravagance?
My latest extravagance. I don't know if I should share that on the fly.
Of course you should.
I guess, I don't know who's hearing this, but probably falling in love.
Nice. That sounds wonderful. Which talent would you most like to have?
I would love to be really good at free diving.
What do you consider your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement was breaking free from a lot of my old trauma that I struggled with for 20 plus years and finally finding true happiness for myself.
Which profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I would like to be a stand-up comedian.
Oh. What profession would you not want to ever attempt?
Probably wrestling.
And do you think that you have a motto for yourself or your business?
Yes. Live your life. That's a tattoo on my arm.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa.
And sharing everything. We will definitely stay in touch and wish you many successes.
Aw, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Numbers in Tech podcast. Future episodes will include chats with other amazing entrepreneurs. Let's keep the conversations going, whether you are running the show or working on your side hustle. We give you the business advice you need. If you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know. If you want more tips and great information, follow my Instagram account, Numbers in Tech, or email info@numbersintech.com. Always remember to grab life by the bottom line.